Well, why is the Catholic Church different from any other church? Well, obviously, first, we were the one founded by Jesus Christ himself. And secondly, it is the gift of the seven sacraments. I am continuing this morning my series of interviews with Father Chris Alar, and his new book is Understanding the Sacraments. We begin now a new section on the sacraments of healing, and that includes today's topic, reconciliation. Father Alar joining us today as we walk through these seven sacraments. Good morning, Father Alar. Thank you so much for joining us today again.
Yes, nice to be back after a little break, but good to be here. Thank you.
So, Father, we began our series with the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, and now we begin kind of a next subset, we'll say, the sacraments of healing. And I think that that says everything when we look at reconciliation and anointing of the sick. We're going to really focus on reconciliation because that's a real pivotal and important part of our faith. So first, reconciliation. Let's kind of, why is this a healing sacrament? Because sometimes you come out of reconciliation and you go, oh, that was a little difficult.
Well, you know, it's, you know, right now we have to realize the worst kind of death is not the body, it's the soul. And so when God really, he rises us from this worst kind of death in every confession. You know, in fact, when we go to bed at night, we have a little mini death. And when we wake up, we have a little mini resurrection, you know, and spiritual death we have in sin. And then we have a spiritual resurrection in the confessional, you know, and people always say, well, okay, Father, I'll confess directly to God. Well, there's a little presumption there. And presumption is the worst, one of the worst sins, because you're telling God on your terms how you want to receive forgiveness. And somebody says, well, no, that's just the way God set it up. Well, no, it isn't, because God speaks to his church, and the church is designated this is the way for us to receive forgiveness. I mean, really, you can point to the Bible. Remember the scriptural passage where the leper came to Jesus and wanted to be healed, and in the healing, Jesus didn't say afterwards, you can go home now. He said, now go to the priest so that he can declare you clean. This goes back to Leviticus. And so that's what happens in the confessional. Yes, God forgives your sin, but it's the priest who declares you clean by saying, I absolve you. And so, you know, Christ forgave sins to show that he has authority on earth to forgive them, and he passes on that authority. You know, Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:18, John 20:23, whose sins you forgive are forgiven in heaven, and whose sins you retain are retained in heaven. So basically, heaven has to follow the priest. So if the priest says you are forgiven, heaven has to forgive you, or Jesus lied. And so this is powerful because Christ had ultimate authority, but when you have ultimate authority to forgive sins, you have the power to delegate that authority. And Jesus, you know, gave that authority to forgive and not to forgive, bind and loose, to the priests. And so in order for a priest to bind or loose, he's got to hear your sins. You know, he can't say, well, your sins are bound or your sins are forgiven or your sins are loosed if he doesn't know what those sins are. And so this is very important.
Father Alar, I mean, you get right to the point of what I've even heard from friends who are non-Catholics say, well, you know, why do I have to go to a priest? That I'm going to Jesus. Why, you know, yeah, why is the priest have to be the go-between? Why can't I just go to God?
Because that's the way Christ did it with the leper. He said, you got to go to the priest to be declared clean. He did not say, you're all done. I've healed you. He said, I've healed you, but now you got to go be declared clean by the priest so you can participate back in public worship. Why would he change that? And so this is very important. If Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:18, and John 20:23, where he said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven in heaven and whose sins you retain are retained in heaven, If that's not true, that you have to go to the priest, then what Jesus did is a complete waste of time. It's totally insignificant. What Jesus did in those passages and what he said is completely meaningless. And God didn't do anything meaningless. So do those people say, I don't need to go to the priest? They need to explain, well, then what does that passage mean? And they'll say, oh, it was just for the apostles. No, we've had apostolic succession, and we'll talk about that in the priesthood, where those are passed on, you know, from priest to priest, from the bishop to the priest. And so, you know, the power to forgive sin doesn't come from the apostles. It's from God's power, but it goes through the apostles. And so this is very, very important that we go to a confession and we confess all grave sins that we can remember. And this is how God set it up. You know, Catholics, we confess our sins to God and to God's ministers as directed. Here's another way to look at it. Protestants believe that God uses ministers to provide physical healing, right? You've seen that. You've rise up and walk, you know, pick up your crutches, get out of your wheelchair. You know, Protestants believe that God uses ministers to provide physical healing. Well, why not spiritual? Why can't priests provide spiritual healing? Protestants believe their pastors wash away sins in baptism. Why not priests in confession? And so this is very, very important for us to know because, the only unforgivable sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit, is not asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. And by walking into the confessional, you're asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. So you can't be guilty of the unforgivable sin by just simply going into the confessional, which shows you desire his mercy and his forgiveness.
Father Chris Aylor is joining us today as we continue our series of interviews on the sacraments. Today, we're discussing reconciliation. Father Aylor, many children during the springtime, they are preparing for Eucharist. And along with that, they learn about reconciliation. For those of us, you said we need to confess grave sin. When we enter into the confessional, as a priest, what do you expect us to be confessing? And is it venial or is it just grave sin? And what are those grave sins?
Yeah, and in fact, in the confessional, a lot of priests need to realize it's not spiritual direction. The time in the confessional is simply for confessing sins and receiving forgiveness. It's not meant, you know, it's disheartening when you got 30 people in line and, you know, you're number 20 and the priest gets through two people. And, you know, he spends 30 minutes with the first two people and then he comes out and says, sorry, I can't hear any more confessions. That's not what you are going to confession for. It is not for you to tell the priest about Aunt Emma at the Thanksgiving dinner did this and she did that. No, we're there for you to confess your sins, not Aunt Emma, right? And so what the priest expects is when you come in, you confess your sins in number and kind. We don't need details. Now, when it gets really kind of tricky is sexual sins because you can go from one extreme to the other. You can have one person say, Father, I struggle with impurity. Well, that's not enough. Not that we're looking for detail, but a priest is taught and trained in seminary to ask for number and kind. Like how many times you think you committed it and what was the nature, and that's it. And you only have to confess grave sins. You do not have to confess all your venial sins because those are forgiven in the Mass. So when you go up to Holy Communion, if you've been to confession for your grave sins and your venial sins are forgiven in the penitential rite of the Mass, you're completely spotless. Hmm. You're completely spotless when you receive Holy Communion. So this is a critically important, very important sacrament. And, you know, stay away from the generalities. You know, Father, if I've not been loving, well, okay, the priest is going to need to, you know, did you yell and swear at somebody, or did you just pass by them without saying hello? Did you condemn them to hell? You know, I mean, this is the thing you have to ask yourself, not that the priest is going to ask this. And, you know, so the priest does have to have some idea so that he can give absolution. And so this is very important.
Father Ehler, with just a moment left in our time, this is a very, you know, big sacrament, and there's lots to know about, and I encourage our readers to pick up your book to read more. But the second thing I want to ask you about, though, is how often, meaning that what's the church has some requirements as to how often we should go at a minimum, but really to maintain a holy and sanctified life, how often should we be going?
The church teaches a minimum of a lake for the lay Catholic of once a year, but we obviously recommend more than that. Us religious, we go every 2 weeks, no matter what our state. But a good rule for the person is every month, mm-hmm. especially if you do first Saturdays. That's a great time to go. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you, Father Ehler, for your time today. We look forward next week. We're going to be talking about the anointing of the sick. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you.